This is Purple Radio on demand.
Good evening and welcome to Who Sock Podcasts. You're here with me, Bertie, Ollie.
Hello.
Harry.
Hello.
And special guest, Rebecca.
Hello.
Your first podcast.
Yeah.
Woo. Quick rules, don't swear because Ollie will get mad at you.
Usually these rules come before we start recording. We usually don't leave this round down during the recording. Yeah.
Just like try not to libel anyone.
Yeah, that's also something I've done. I'm a joy for any editing.
Yeah, I'd like to not have to edit anything this time.
I am hosting this week because it was my week of episodes to choose. We named it College Food Week because the theme was bad food. We watched School Reunion, Invasion of the Bane, and Countryside.
Two of those episodes I've not seen. I missed that session because I had an exam the next day, and I'm mainly just here because no one else knows how to work recording.
Look, it was not in the job description for either me or Harry to know what we're doing.
Anyway, but just a disclaimer, I have seen School Reunion, but not the other two. But I will comment and make sarcastic comments anyway.
Great. I had to have an episode of Doctor Who for my week. I tried to get...
I was encouraging you to have a fully spin-off week.
I think that you should have had a fully spin-off week.
I think I should have.
Yeah.
I think I'm silent.
I love
spin-offs. What was the other option?
I did have a Doctor Who episode on it.
No, lies and slander. I would have had BBC Class, I think, to spice it up. But then again, that makes the plan for next term, which is just 8 weeks of BBC Class video. Even done. Right, School Reunion. Mickey calls.
You can't leak the schedule like that.
Unbelievable, Bertie.
It's an Easter egg for all our viewers.
What will we do with you?
Mickey calls the Doctor and Rose back home to investigate a school in which mysterious happenings are afoot. While investigating, the Doctor reunites with an old friend and a certain adorable robot dog. Mystery ensues. Companions argue, and the Doctor must face a terrible choice. Buck 2024.
Yes.
So what were our first thoughts?
Well, from when I watched it, like the last a few months ago, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
My main one was, wow, David Tennant looks really young in this, but I think that's mostly just coming from having just watched the special.
Mm. I think, I must say, you sort of don't realise it, but it's higher stakes than any Doctor Who episode until Journey's End, because the Krillitane are trying to, like, take control of all of reality and time and space, which is, like, pretty high stakes for a mid-series episode, but it does work.
I loved Uther.
I love him.
Love Uther. He, for me, because I see Anthony Stewart-Head the most in Buffy.
Mm.
Seeing him look old was a bit of a jump scare. I was like, whoa, you're no longer 90s, Anthony. But he was a slay throughout the whole episode. At one point, I thought maybe him and the Doctor was going to kiss, because they build that up.
Yeah.
They build up that tension. He had this little poor meow meow moment.
Yeah.
Where he's like, be a god with me. And David Tennant's Doctor ran with that. To the master, he's like, join me, love me, choose me. To the toy maker, he's like, join me, love me, choose me. Which is like,
he essentially realised that he made a mistake in that episode.
Yeah.
And then was like, I need to fix this.
10 and 14th character arc is actually just him finding a boyfriend.
Yeah.
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 I'm failing because he doesn't have enough wits.
Exactly. And that is exactly David Tennant's character arc.
Yeah. He loses Rose and he's like, needs some riz. Finds no riz.
The ultimate conclusion to his character arc is becoming Sue to Getwa and having all the riz.
Yeah. You had the iconic physics scene.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which popular fan theory is that he's shouting Gallifreyan science at the kids.
Mm.
I personally like to believe he is just saying the word physics because he knows nothing.
Yeah.
I have the headcanon that he actually wasn't that smart on Gallifrey. Mm. That he was just, he was like a C- average student.
That's not a headcanon, that's just true.
There we are. Yeah. He was not spouting science. The doctor's clearly humanities girly.
I mean, like, he just had got fairly low grades at the academy.
Where do we learn this information?
I don't remember. It's probably in a classic episode.
Oh, no, no.
Probably, yeah. There's not many people that would have known that in New Who.
Mm. I don't think the Master mentions it in New Who.
No. And they were best friends.
But I'm pretty sure that is a canon, blah, 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 canonically true thing.
Mm. Yeah. He's just an average girly out there. I think if you put me in front of a class to teach physics, I too would just repeat physics. Be like, physics, physics. Ah, physics. Harry, if you were put in front of a physics class, how would you teach them?
Badly. I can't teach. So, yeah.
Don't you have a job? I'm a teacher.
Yeah, but they're actually paying to be here, so they're actually engaged with it.
Yeah.
It's more the dealing with teenagers that would be the problem.
High school science lessons were the Wild West.
Mm.
You either sunk or swam.
That was my French lessons.
French was also another one.
History.
Yeah. Mm. PE.
Yeah. Yes.
Are there any subjects that aren't on this list?
Me, it was mainly just French and history.
English, everyone was pretty well behaved in.
I was thinking in English.
No, that was not the case in my...
Yeah.
My English teacher had her bunnies and would bring them in.
Oh.
So we just had bunnies, and like, learning Shakespeare's so much easier when you have a bunny.
As people stole pipettes from the science lab and squirted water at each other. Stunning.
I would like to note that I feel like the doctor could have given Rose or got Rose a better job at the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit like Martha in Human Nature. It's like they didn't have to be in a bad situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think he just found it funny.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a bit misogynist.
Yeah.
It is.
Like, if you... we don't canonically, I don't think, know Rose's academic abilities.
She didn't do her A levels.
So, you know, she's got GCSEs, and like, I had teachers in high school who only had GCSEs.
I think she would have done really well at teaching history.
I would have said drama.
Yeah.
Or PE. No PE teachers qualified.
They just stand there in a coat and they're like, run.
Exactly. They're like, it's not that cold in there. Floor-length coat when you're in shorts and a polo top.
Yeah.
Yet she didn't have to be in the cafeteria. Not that there's anything wrong with being a dinner lady.
And it did end up being quite useful.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
Actually, to be fair, wasn't that part of the reasoning? It's like she gets behind the scenes a bit.
He could have been a dinner lady.
He could have been. Yeah.
David did not have to be a teacher. He could have worked in the canteen. I'm hearing sexism.
Yeah.
Could have both been in the canteen.
Although you having pointed it out makes me realise I'm not sure Rose would have been able to teach anything. I don't think she would have had the patience for the students.
Yeah, but no teacher's got patience for students.
No, that's true, but also you don't want to just put someone in a school environment who's going to just fail to teach kids.
She'd do better than just telling kids physics multiple times.
Yeah. Also, she had to deal with kids in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, high school cafeterias, the Wild West.
Yeah.
So, I just think she could have done something else. Mm-hmm. And that David Tennant's doctor clearly has a superiority complex.
We all know. Time Lord Victorious, anyone?
So, Sarah Jane... and the doctor meet again.
They do.
Yeah.
In the most beautiful moment. The little smile.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
David Tennant is acting his heart out. Because it feels so effortlessly happy.
Effortlessly.
Yeah, that's the one. Thank you, Ollie.
Yeah, he looks genuinely like this is someone he absolutely loves but has not seen in so long, which is obviously what it is. But like David Tennant has never, as far as I know, acted alongside Elizabeth Sladen before. So it is impressively authentic acting. Although I suppose it might be a part of his childhood nostalgia from being a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah. Like, I think this is the first time we've had an old companion come back.
Yeah.
And it would have been something that David Tennant grew up with. So it would be meeting your heroes.
Oh, unless you count the five Doctors. A few old companions did come back.
In New Who?
No, in Classic Who.
It's not a spin-off, so I haven't watched it.
Me yeah. With all of Doctor Who. If it's not a spin-off. I have an air freshener because we're not at Maiden Castle because it's too icy, and the air freshener is just in Ollie's face every 3 minutes.
With it. I wasn't trying to turn it off.
Okay. We also get K-9.
I love K-9.
K-9 is the best.
Yeah.
K-9 is a good dog.
And when they're like, what was it? You bad dog, and he's like, affirmative. So much sass.
Yeah.
In a little bit of metal.
Yeah.
He is the only dog I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a K-9 enjoyer.
I am a K-9.
Actually, enjoyer. The best character in all of Doctor Who.
No.
Yeah, obviously.
Chrissy Jackson.
Chrissy Jackson!
She's number one.
Yeah.
She's been a Doctor Who, technically.
For the viewers at home, Harry is face palmed. Do one shot.
Are we moving on to Invasion of the Bane there?
And we have not finished. Not finished school reunion. I have a document, Harry. We're sticking to the order.
When I'm in leading the podcast and I'm trying to stick to an order, you're the one who's most problematic pulling me off the order.
Gaslighting.
You jump to the end of the episode when I'm trying to talk about the beginning.
Slander. Vonk. Vonk. I want to talk a little bit about the Rose Tyler, Sarah Jane beef scene.
I don't.
Okay then, I guess. Okay.
All right. I think we should move on to Invasion of the Bane.
I think you should leave.
No.
So Ollie, what's the plot of Invasion of the Bane?
So get some Bane and they invade. Luke is created. He's supposed to be a perfect human. Anyway, carry on, Bertie.
The actual hate crimes I really like that RTD didn't reduce them down to just being petty with each other. I like that there's a bit of the friction because Rose is so far the only companion of New Who. So she does think she's the only one. And then when she meets Sarah Jane, they have a little fight. Rose is like, I've been to space Pontins. And Sarah Jane is like, well, I've been to space Butlins. It was beautiful. And then the giggle when they actually bond is feminism 101.
I do feel like when they first meet, the amount they sort of like get frustrated at each other does grate on me a bit. And I'm like, it feels like that's very clearly the premise the writer was going for and just pushed it that way. Because to me, it doesn't quite feel like Rose and definitely not Sarah Jane's characters to be like that. But I do like they have their little giggle reconcile at the end. And I like that it then gets addressed with the Doctor and Rose about why they behaved the way they did. In their little conversation of, you know, you wither and you die. Which, to be honest, is like... In the actual classic, I don't know which of you have seen the episode where Sarah Jane leaves in Classic Who, but there's sort of no reason that she leaves. It's a very poorly justified thing. It's just like...
But humans aren't allowed on Gallifrey.
Well, yeah, it's because
the Doctor can't possibly come back afterwards.
Yeah, it's like, what? Like, yes, he couldn't take her to Gallifrey. He could have then just come back for her. But you know, School Reunion does a good job at sort of tacking an explanation onto that.
Also, as if the Doctor could actually fly the TARDIS where he wants it to go.
Yeah, especially...
He's actually been trying to get back all this time.
Yeah.
I don't like Doctor-Companion romance. But the some things are worth getting your heart broken for line was delicious.
I just wish that was... Like, there can you can have platonic heartbreak. I just wish it was... Because, like, if you look at like three Sarah Jane and four Sarah Jane, like it was very clearly a platonic relationship. There's no romance there. It's not supposed to be. It's classic Who. Classic Who's not like that, except with Tua and Jamie.
I don't think Tom Baker agrees with you on that one.
I know Tom Baker was has said he was in love with Elizabeth Sladen, but just because an actor says something, that doesn't mean it's true.
All of it's in love with Elizabeth Sladen.
Yeah,
but I think that I like it was not supposed to be romantic in Classic Who, and I don't like that this episode goes, oh, this is what the Doctor Companion relationship is like now, and tries to put the romantic relationship on the Doctor and Sarah Jane's relationship when it's not supposed to be like that.
I wish it wasn't romantic, and you do get platonic heartbreak. Every playlist I made age 14 to age 17 agrees with that. But if it had to be a companion, I'm glad it's Sarah Jane, because she's classy. She's a classy lady.
Yeah.
She kept it classy. Kenny blew up the school. Yeah. There was a nice... Kenny blew up the school and Mickey rammed the school with that car. Just shredded.
That's this week's other title. We are in a car.
It feels like a very, like, a child's dream to blow up their school. It feels like a very cheesy moment where I go, did you do this? I did. Kenny blew up the school! And everyone's cheering. It's a very, very cheesy moment playing to, like, the stereotype of a school child's dream.
It is a family show, though.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not a criticism. That's just an observation.
RTD was doing it for six-year-old B.
I don't think RTD wrote this episode.
RTD wasn't doing it for six-year-old B.
I don't know who wrote the episode now. Keep talking while I do some research.
The Doctor fixing K-9.
Yeah.
Giving Sarah Jane K-9.
Yeah.
Because Sarah Jane deserves better than the Doctor.
Yeah.
Sarah Jane makes a life for herself afterwards, as we'll discuss later, with no romantic partner.
Yeah.
Which is a slay, as she should. I love non-normative family structures. Mm. But by giving her K-9, delicious. Ate that up.
Yeah.
Three-course meal.
It was written by Toby Whithouse.
What else has Toby written?
He's definitely written other things. I recognise the name. I will do some research.
Stop. We're very well prepared this week.
Yeah.
Vampires of Venice, God Complex, A Town Called Mercy, On the Lake Before the Flood, and The Lie of the Land.
That's a pretty good set of episodes.
Yeah. Vampires of Venice.
One of the best Matt Smith
episodes.
It's my least favourite episode of Series 5.
Wow.
But I do love Series 5. I do love Series 5, but that's not very much of an insult.
I feel like you keep shutting me down today. Anyone got any concluding thoughts on school reunion?
Well, there was a reunion in a school.
I'm such an Anthony Head fan.
I do really like the discussion of like omnipotence and whether it's whether it's good or I feel like it's something Doctor Who does well, but I wish it did even more. It does it fairly frequently, but I'd like a really good like a multi-part story that fully focuses on it would be really interesting.
I get a bit annoyed with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
I'm like, shut up. Stop it. Give me some... I'm here for the interpersonal drama.
Mm.
I'm quite like I like a good bit of gossip. So the interpersonal drama in the episode was delicious to me. And like, Uther was there.
Yeah.
And I was here for that too. Because I was like, it's Anthony Head.
Also, I feel like this is one of the worst cases we've ever seen of CGI in Doctor Who. But also...
That is a...
But also...
It's,
Doctor Who is supposed
certainly something.
Yeah. It was beautiful to me.
It was.
I'm such a bad special effects enjoyer.
Yeah, because when something's bad and it knows it's bad,
yeah,
I eat that up.
Yeah.
What do you mean it knows it's bad?
Like, I think they knew. Like, they didn't take themselves too seriously.
Mm.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's
Whereas
true.
When you get bad special effects, when they're taking themselves seriously, it's a bit like,
Yeah.
Critically engage with the media that you're making, please.
If the Grillitane's looking like that were, like, the series finale villain, it would be a bit questionable.
I don't know.
How many...
It's an interesting concept. Like, they take different aspects of different species, but I also feel like they should be more powerful in their physical forms if they do that, because surely they should have like loads of difference.
If you could take one thing from an animal on Earth, what would you take?
I don't know.
Hot question. Question by me. Submitted by me.
I don't
just
know.
Now.
I'm a fan of being human, to be honest. I don't know if I want to take any animal traits.
I'd get some cool albatross wings.
Yeah.
Sorry that you're not having a fun time with wings.
No, no, you're right. You're right. No, I'll have some wings. That sounds good.
Yeah, being able to fly would be nice.
Mm. Icarus did that. I don't think it ended very
well.
My wings wouldn't be made out of glue.
I like wings, but pigeon wings. I really like pigeons.
Yeah, you can tell someone who doesn't live in London by the fact that they like pigeons.
What? Oh! I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Oliver. Sorry, not all of us live in the country's capital with its extortionate housing prices. I grew up in a seaside town. We've got pigeons aplenty.
There's nothing wrong with living outside of London. It's just that pigeons in London are not pests.
Friends. Pigeons are friends. It's classist to think otherwise.
It's classist.
Pigeons. We took pigeons, we domesticated them, and then we abandoned them.
We shouldn't have domesticated them.
We shouldn't have abandoned them. Alana means family. Pigeons are not pests, and I have many pigeons in Great Yarmouth.
You should get rid of them. Anyway, I think we're going to have an invasion of the brain.
Testing me. Testing me today. I'm going to call for a vonk next week.
Yeah.
Investigative journalist Sarah Jane Smith teams up with her new 13-year-old neighbour, Maria Jackson, to face the scheming Mrs. Wormwood, the head of a company producing popular and addictive soft drink called Bubble Shock. Credit to TARDIS Wiki and Ollie, because I copied and pasted it from last week's email.
Yay.
What are our starting thoughts on Invasion of Bane? What about you, Ollie? You really enjoyed this episode.
Yes.
Yes. Person of many words. I love Sarah Jane. I love the Sarah Jane adventures so much.
It's better than Doctor Who.
It's better than Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It genuinely is.
Doctor Who doesn't have Chrissy Jackson.
No.
Finally, a like-minded person on this podcast. Harry, your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't know if I've ever actually rewatched it since I was like 10. So it's weird seeing just how young all the children characters actually are.
Yeah, I always find that when with things I watched.
I remember them being slightly older than that.
Going, wow, they are really young.
Yeah, I remember when I first watched it, I was like, wow, that's a teenager. Wow. But at 22, I'm like, that's a literal child on my screen.
Yeah.
Why are these children more successful than me? Which is my issue with Millie Gibson. I'm like, what have I got to show with my life? University debt? She's in Doctor Who. The thing about Maria, right, is that she's cheeky. And I just love how forward she is during the whole thing. She's like, hello, Sarah Jane. You've got aliens. Sarah Jane's like, no. OG Gus, like, gatekeep girl boss is our Sarah Jane. And I love that she's just tenacious and it works really well.
Mm.
I realise rewatching episodes of Sarah Jane and Hoosock, it's made me realise how much gaslighting Sarah Jane does.
As she should. Do you have an issue with that?
No.
Correct.
Of course not. It's an observation.
Keep my wife's name out of your mouth. Yeah, Sarah Jane starts motherhood by gaslighting her child.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Does she? Well, in what way?
She gaslights Luke, doesn't she?
Yeah.
My note says, what do I write? I put, starting motherhood by gaslighting Luke, followed by be gay, do crime about Luke as well.
So,
I can't remember what she does to Luke that would count as gaslighting.
It's about the attic, I think.
Also, she adopted him as a son. Has she adopted him as a son at this point?
She's not like, you can stay here.
That happens at the end of the episode properly.
Yeah. At the end of the episode, she's like, I've used Mr. Smith to forge papers, which I think is how she affords that nicer house in London.
Yeah.
On a single journalist wage.
Yeah. Mm. And like independent journalist. That is not a stable job.
No. So I think she, as she should.
Yeah.
As she should. I'm saying Sarah Jane, be gay, do crime, commit forgery with Mr. Smith. I'd like to have a little backstory about how she meets Mr. Smith. Do we know how she meets Mr. Smith? Does she just visit?
I think there is an episode about that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's an episode because he turns out to be like an evil alien computer, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Spoilers. Spoiler warning for everything.
You didn't do a spoiler warning at the start of the podcast.
Look, the thing is, I feel like if you're
let Bertie host?
If you're listening to a Who Sock podcast about three episodes we've watched in Who Sock, you're going to get spoilers. So the fact that we have to say a spoiler warning is just us belittling our listeners. Because if you're listening to a Who Sock podcast named for the three episodes we've watched, you're going to get spoilers. And you know what? I don't even think we should spoiler warning Doctor Who. Because again, if you've got time to listen to Who Sock podcasts, you've got time to watch Doctor Who.
Yeah, but like I can listen to some podcasts on my way to walking to Lidl. I can't watch Doctor Who on my way to Lidl.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can. It's a skill issue.
Yeah.
Okay. But
you can't Mr. Smith being evil isn't a spoiler for this episode. It's a spoiler for the series finale of series one.
Also, these episodes have been out for over a decade.
Yeah.
Like...
I mean, the way I see it with the spoiler warnings, I don't think we really need them, but.
It's almost two decades at this point.
From arguing about it.
Because I fundamentally think we don't need spoiler warnings. Mm. And that if your butt hurt over getting something spoiled from a Who Sock session you probably should have went to, that's on you. That is on you. And you can meet me as a welfare officer during my office hours.
When are your office hours?
When I'm not busy.
Okay. Amazing.
I thought it was 9 till 10 on Fridays.
I'm booked.
I've booked myself in.
Yeah. Okay. I'm quite busy. It's quite a busy role.
Yeah.
So, against spoiler warning.
Anyway.
It's like being allergic to peanuts and opening a Snickers. You're talking to yourself.
You say this. You were yesterday just patting something you're allergic to. So...
Yeah, patting my wool jumper off, discovering you're allergic to wool.
It's a skill issue, I shouldn't be allergic.
Anyway, what did people think of the bang? Because I want to know what people thought of the bang.
Girl boss.
I think that you should go first on your thoughts. Set us up.
I liked them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mrs. Wormwood has to be like the iconic Sarah Jane Adventures villain because she just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
It's either her or the trickster.
In my, I always thought of the trickster and the Slitheen as like the iconic Sarah Jane villains.
Oh yeah, the Slitheen do come up a lot.
Mm. Well, no, I've seen most of Sarah Jane.
Have you seen this episode?
No.
How have you watched most of it but not the first one?
Well, I think it's because it's like, it's not like fully in series one. It's like its own little pilot thing. And then there's series one. So when I watched series one, I didn't know there was another one I was supposed to watch before it.
Not a real fan.
Not real fan. Bonk. Mrs. Wormwood, she's a slay.
Yeah.
She's girl boss, but she's not tacky girl boss.
Mm.
Which I really enjoy. And she does make the perfect human.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is slightly questionable, I think, that the quote-unquote perfect human is a white boy.
Yeah.
That was a decision made by the writers. I've not seen the episode, but that feels like that was a decision made by the writers.
It's based on people who visited a factory in England.
You didn't have to be that pasty, though. You are right.
At least he's gay.
Yeah. He doesn't know he's gay at this point.
Yeah.
No, he
doesn't know a lot at this point.
That is a baby. But he does.
In the next episode, he gets into a car with this creepy nun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, it's not his fault. Your Honour, he's just a girl.
He did get the primary school stranger danger lessons, in his defence.
Yeah, in his defence. He didn't get those traumatising videos.
Did you get the giraffe come out?
I did get a giraffe come out.
A giraffe.
What?
That was a plan. And then, like, someone came round with the giraffe, and you had to get into the van.
They're intuitive because they were like, don't get into vans, and then they put us in a van and we're like, no.
And tempted us in with a giraffe.
Yeah. And the thing didn't work.
Yeah.
They were like, have this giraffe, and I'm like,
I love those giraffes.
Stunning.
So wait, were they like testing to see if you would get into a van by offering you giraffes?
No, they just get into the van.
It wasn't like there was no choice. We had to get into the van.
Why were giraffes involved?
They had a giraffe.
Why did they have a giraffe?
No, to tempt us into the van.
But if you had to go into the van, why did they need the giraffe?
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Just a bit of fun, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that conversation was actually going to be like audible. but me and Ollie just both had the same face just reacting to that.
The same confused look of confusion.
Did your schools not do that with you to stop you stranger dangering yourself?
They didn't make us get in a van with a giraffe.
Strangers.
Wow.
That one's worked on us.
No, I needed that formative experience.
Yeah.
You both had the thing where they made you get in a van.
Pardon?
You should have had a summative experience. For the listeners at home, I've been violenced.
As we ought.
Yeah.
See, you wouldn't have been violenced if you had the giraffe van.
Yeah.
What?
I'm now going to have to pose that.
There you go. Now you've been violenced, even though you had the giraffe van.
Right, back on track. Alan has Riz.
Yes.
Like, he's trying to Riz Sarah Jane a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
Yeah.
It's Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
Is that the end of that discussion?
Yeah.
I've not seen the episodes. This is a lot I can say on most things.
I love the line, how would you know you're going mad? I don't know. Ask your mother. Delicious. Who does that introduce? It introduces us to our Lord and Saviour, Chrissy Jackson.
Yeah.
She's an icon.
I love her.
She's a moment.
Yeah.
She divorced.
She destroyed Gallifrey.
Yes, she did. Did you not watch that episode of Doctor Who?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying she did. That's what I'm saying she did.
She divorces Alan.
Yeah.
Right? For a rich, very rich man.
Yeah.
Later in the show, she has a red Ferrari, a fur coat. She's everything.
Yeah.
She's an icon.
I love her.
She's the moment.
Best Doctor Who character of all time.
Correct.
Yeah.
I feel like Harry and Ollie just aren't agreeing with us.
I've not seen the episode.
She's not a very good person.
She doesn't have to be a good person to be an icon.
Are you saying the mask's not an icon?
Tread carefully, Harry.
Okay.
The master is an icon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a girl boss.
Sure.
Catboy master. Only one recurring Doctor Who character has also been a catboy.
Yeah.
Oh, survival. Okay. Yeah.
She's just there. I don't think she's a bad mother.
Mm.
So she's got a bit of messed up priorities, but she does come to see Maria.
Yeah.
And her and Alan, they've got a bit of bants. I think they're better apart.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're co-parenting quite well. She's a bit rude, as Luke says. Yeah. This woman's a bit rude.
Correct.
Yeah.
She also can't remember Sarah Jane's name.
I think she's just committed to the bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think she does, but she's like, ooh, this woman is trying to get with my ex-husband. I'm just going to constantly misname her.
Yeah.
So I think she does know Sarah Jane's name.
Yeah.
It's like the time Alan turns into a statue and she climbs through the window and she's like, what do you mean? She's the Lulu. She's got a statue of Alan.
And then she's like, shame that she can't have the real thing whilst stroking him.
Doesn't Sarah Jane then also gaslight her into saying that that statue just never existed?
Gaslight gatekeep girl boss.
Gaslight gatekeep girl boss. The Sonic lipstick. Do we know how that came about?
She just has that.
Yeah. Like, where did she get that? Did she make that?
She was just like slay.
Because it works as real lipstick.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
There's a scene where she's like sat in a car about to go on a date. And she, like, pulls out a lipstick and is like, last second, oh no, that's the Sonic one. And has to switch her lipstick.
Yeah. Okay, so it doesn't work as real lipstick, but do we know, did she make it? Was it a gift?
According to TARDIS Wiki, it's in a couple of books that the Doctor made it and gives it to her at some point before the invasion of the Bane.
So, like, the Doctor comes back.
Yeah.
It's like, hi, Sarah Jane. Because they're co-parenting a dog now.
Yeah.
They're two divorced 50-year-olds.
To be fair, the Doctor also just calls her Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only person who's allowed to do that.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit weird if you call her just Sarah. I'm like, who's Sarah? Yeah.
Apparently, at some point, it gets destroyed by a Santaran, and then she gets another one, but never explains where it came from.
I like to think the Doctor gave her, like, 10 in different shades.
Yeah.
So it could match her outfit.
Yeah.
Because the Doctor, it never says what Doctor.
Yeah.
So my new headcanon is that Shuti Gatwa did it, because he was like,
yeah,
a girl needs an accessory.
Yes.
And he comes back, he's like, here you go, Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane's got, like, she's like, wow, you're hot.
Yeah.
Gives her
Why is the TARDIS wiki so in-depth? It has a list of every single thing that the Sonic lipstick has ever been used to do.
We should not bully TARDIS wiki.
It has unlocking doors separate to opening a padlock.
Are they not separate things, Harry?
Well, it might
they're,
be
they're both unlocking things.
Or something, or like on a chest, or, you know.
Yeah.
A padlock's not the same as a normal door lock, Harry, Kift.
Wow, are you not God's kiff to men?
Proud of you.
Thank you. I really set out to mention that at least once this podcast. I have a lot little list of goals. This is one of them. The Zac Efron lookalike.
Yeah.
He was slaying.
Yeah.
He was strange.
Yeah.
He was like, hello, child, come into my car. I'll drive you home.
She should have had the giraffe done.
That was really weird. Yeah.
And, like, not Clyde, because I've forgotten her name. No, Clyde just went with it.
Yeah.
She's also the moment.
Yeah.
But I could see why she didn't stick around. I can see why they got another character.
In the Day of the Doctor, should the moment have taken one of their forms rather than Rose's?
Correct, yes. Yeah. Should have been Chrissy Jackson. And no one could have got out this window apart from a child or a narrow-hipped female. Stunning.
Yeah.
They didn't need that.
No.
Is that a reference to the Ark in space when she's crawling through the thing?
Oh.
And the Doctor says she can't do it.
Was this one of Sarah Jane's lines?
No.
No.
Who said it?
Not Zac Efron.
Mrs. Wormwood.
Oh, was it Mrs. Wormwood?
Was it Zac Efron?
I can't remember.
It might have been Zac Efron.
Because Zac Efron was in the Sarah Jane Adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also I feel like Mrs. Wormwood was like dropping some shade.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if they wanted to kiss or punch.
Yeah. Also, like, Mrs. Wormwood had just lost the kid in the divorce.
Yeah.
The bit in the lift when Mrs. Wormwood's assistant, whose name I can't remember, was told to kill Sarah Jane. And she just punches her in the face and runs away.
Girl boss moment.
Yeah.
Something me and Joseph name drop, was discussing was how autistic coded Lucas.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something I've heard people saying a lot, that Lucas is very autistic coded, which, I mean, he is.
Mm.
I have thoughts. On one hand, Slay, yes, the perfect human, autistic, 10 out of 10, as it ought to be. But also, there's also the other side of it is he's a baby. He's been alive for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So it feels sort of infantilizing.
Mm.
So I like to sit on the side of Slay, yes, the perfect human is autistic. But I can see and fully understand any arguments against it being a good thing.
Mm.
His special interest is maths, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But did relate a lot to Luke growing up.
Mm.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I say, I watched Sarah Jane Adventures like later than most people did, but I definitely did relate to him.
Mm.
I remember my friends being like, oh my God, I'm so much like Rani. I was like, sure. Okay. Let me do some numbers now.
The sort of the end of the episode is very similar to the end of the first episode of Class, where one of the characters thinks they've figured out how to win, does it, and it just isn't powerful enough, and then another character makes it better.
It's a solid ending. I won't have any class slander on this podcast.
No slander here.
Oh. And a scene that I really enjoyed at the end is when they're trying to give Luke a name and she goes, Harry Alistair.
That's so sweet.
Mm.
It was a nice little throwback. Yeah. Like, because this is a kids' TV show, but most of the time, you know, parents would be watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that was done for them.
Yeah. Mm.
But I also like the fact that it's so accessible that you don't need to watch Doctor Who for Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I watched it first.
All right.
Mm. I remember watching Torchwood very young.
Which is a decision.
Look, leave Kelly out of this. I watched Torchwood very young. I think I might have watched Torchwood before Sarah Jane. Because I chose to watch Sarah Jane when, like, it was my TV time.
Mm.
Whereas Torchwood I watched when I was homesick as a kid. But they would have been about the same time.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I watched Torchwood before Doctor Who, and I got Torchwood without Doctor Who. Mm.
Yeah.
And I like that my best friend as a teenager watched BBC Class without watching Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That's a choice.
She made many choices. But I like that they're accessible because they are sort of a gateway into it.
I think it's especially necessary when you have three different shows pitched at three different age ranges, like family, kids, adults.
Mm.
You can't expect someone, like, you can't expect someone to know the older shows when it's appropriate for a different age range.
Yeah.
I was very confused when I got to the episode with David Tennant in it, having not watched Doctor Who. It's like, oh, okay, there's this character here now that I'm meant to know. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's an episode with Matt Smith too, because he jumps out of a coffin, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd have started watching it by then.
It's nice. Bar one or two episodes, you could definitely watch Sarah Jane without any Doctor Who, which I think is good for a kid's show.
Yeah.
Because I remember being terrified of Doctor Who growing up sometimes, like Weeping Angels, terrifying.
Yeah.
That little gas mask kid?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I was terrified watching The Doctor's Wife and having, like, Rory growing old and dying in the TARDIS.
We should look into that.
It's a very scary scene. I think that's quite a normal thing to have been scared by watching at the age of 10.
I think I laughed. I was like, couldn't be me. If you were 10, I was probably about 12.
Yeah, so I would have been older than you were. The episode, I would have been older than you were when you watched the episode.
No,
young.
No.
I got that the other way around. Yeah, no, man.
10 is less than 12, yes.
Ollie learns time. Useful for the physics degree.
Did you watch it when it came out?
Yes, we watched.
Okay, I didn't watch it when it came out.
we watch Doctor Who every week.
Oh, you would have been about 10 as well then, because it was 2011.
I was simply built different.
But yeah.
I would have been 9 or 10.
Yeah.
I was just built different, mate.
I could have been 11, to be fair. I don't know exactly when I watched it.
Any final thoughts on Sarah Jane?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sure good,
you
would.
Yeah.
You didn't say Invasion of the Bane, you just said Sarah Jane. I like Sarah Jane.
Every day I get closer to calling a vault. Harry, would you back me?
It's quite satisfying that it rhymed, though. You know, Invasion of the Bane, Sarah Jane. Invasion of the Jane.
As it ought to be. Right.
I'm talking nonsense, I'm sorry.
It's because you've not watched the episode.
Yeah, I did say I would just sit here and make sarcastic comments, and that is what I've been doing.
Also, the actual plot of the episode, what was the Bane's actual plan?
Like, take over the world?
Yeah, but they kept saying something about like turning people into Bane or them becoming Bane or something. But that they seem to just be sort of mind controlled and walking around trying to feed people.
Honestly, bad plots are the bane of my existence.
Oh. Harry, you take my side in a vonk.
Yeah.
I'm supporting you.
You could be new secretary.
Yeah.
Countryside. Concerned that the space-time rift is spreading, Torchwood investigates a series of gruesome deaths located in a small village in the Brecon Beacons. What sort of creature could cause such shocking injuries? Stranded without communications or equipment and isolated from one another, the team confronts a terrifying enemy. Credit to TARDIS Wiki and Oliver Buck.
If I had a penny for every Who succession that showed Countryside that I had to miss because of I didn't even remember why the first time, I'd have 2 pennies, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice.
Countryside, my favourite episode of Torchwood. It's a banger.
It's a good episode.
I've heard good things about it. I've also heard gruesome things about it.
It's
It's good, but it's a bit hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm quite squeamish, so I don't know how well it would have gone for me.
Yeah. It is very, very gruesome.
It's written
so well. Like, I can't believe it's Chibbers. Chibbers is a man of two sides. You've got Countryside.
Yeah.
You've got Cyberwoman's good, apart from the costuming, but you have to think about how much of that was his choice. I can't tell you.
Mm.
He wrote Broadchurch, which is the same actors as Doctor Who, but fabulously written. And Countryside, I think, is regarded as one of the best Torchwood episodes. Mm.
I understand it to be.
I've not heard, as someone who has been actively on the Torchwood side of Tumblr for coming up to 11 years? I would have been about 11. It's been 11 years. Whew.
Half your life.
half my actual life. It's regarded as one of the best episodes because it's the acting is phenomenal.
Mm.
The plot is brilliant. It's a horror. It's not even a sci-fi, that episode. The scariest thing is humans and the human mind, which is stunning. I love it when the sci-fi show is like, actually, it's a humans. I do get a little annoyed when people are like, oh, you know, they were possessed by aliens. No. They were just not doing great. They were just cannibals.
Yeah.
And I really like how it shows the different characters. And after such heavy episodes of Cyberwoman and Small Worlds, which is the fairy episode, it's really nice to put them all in a space and threaten them. So I am such a Countryside enjoyer. It is everything.
I've just checked. It's not in the top 10 on IMDb.
Really?
In Torchwood episodes.
Yeah.
What is number one?
Episode 4 of Children of Earth.
No. No. I can see that because as much as I don't like Gareth David Lloyd...
Mm-hmm.
He acted his little socks off in that.
Yeah, the top 5 episodes are all Children of Earth.
That was quite good.
Yeah.
What about, what's the first non-Children of Earth episode?
Exit Wounds.
Okay. Mm. Okay, I can see that one. Because Bern Gordman really did act his socks off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing is I've not seen any of the best Richard episodes. There was one I saw that people said was very good in first year. I can't remember what it was called.
Hoosock has an issue about putting Gwen focused episodes on, and I'm a Gwen hater.
I'm such a Gwen hater.
I would like to talk about hating Gwen.
Well, this is your podcast.
I'm going to do it. I hate Gwen. I think she's a really awful character. I think Jack is awful. I think Jack Harkness isn't my favourite character, which is ironic because Torchwood is my favourite spin-off. he's awful with her too. She drugs her husband because she admitted to an affair she was having.
Yeah.
Don't drug your husband. Hot tips with Bertie. If you've got a husband, don't drug them.
Does she give him retcon? Is that what happens?
Yeah. She admits to her affair. Ruth is like, I know, like, I knew it. I'm going to leave you. And she's like, lol, psych. No, you're not.
Wait, sorry. It's called retcon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because there's retcon in Face the Raven. I didn't know that was a reference to something.
Interesting. There's a really good Torchwood episodes about the use of retcon and what that can do. They keep
The Martha Week podcast, we had a lengthy discussion on the etymology of the word retcon because Louis hadn't realised that that was why it was called that.
I do feel like a lot of Gwen hate is misogynistic. I do think like a lot of people beef on Gwen not for her actual character flaws, but make her out to be this evil character. She's not evil, she's just slightly annoying. Because of misogynistic reasons.
Yeah.
And like they're like, oh, I love Yanto. Same bestie, but for different reasons. Like they'll really, really put Yanto on a pedestal and blame Gwen for everything when actually, you know, he did sneak a cyber person out of the Battle of Canary Wharf. He was there.
Yeah.
And he was like, there. He was Yvonne Hartman's PA, if you believe Big Finish to be canon. And he just did it. He's like, lol, yeah, I can fix this. I can fix her. Like, Gwen did do some really stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Like, she's the reason all those men lost their lives. But also, Jack shouldn't have put her in the field.
Yeah.
Like, this is a police bobby from Wales. She ain't got no experience with guns or how to work in that sort of situation. So I get quite annoyed when someone's like, I don't like Gwen. I'm like, oh, me too. And I'm ready for like a nice in-depth critical like speech about how sometimes writing a girl boss, you fail. And then they just spout misogyny. And I'm like, we're not the same.
Well, is it because people don't like her because she's got too much agency? Or...
Yeah. And she gets in the way, air quotes, of Jack and Yanto's relationship. That was toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay to have toxic relationships on TV. Like, show me a spectrum of things. But, like, Gwen's not the person getting it. Jack. Blame Jack.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that are Jack's fault that people will blame Gwen for. And it's like, I think you need to hold the men responsible.
Yeah.
And Jack's not great. He has his little transphobic little moment.
Yeah.
What a great moment that one
was. Who had a transphobic moment?
In Greek Spare and Gifts, which is the Tosh episode, there's a there's an alien called Mary. And he makes some little transphobic joke about a friend who transitioned. And he was basically quite derogatory about it. I don't want to repeat it.
Yeah, no, understandable.
But I'll show it to you later. I'll show you the scene.
Lovely.
So, like, stop blaming Gwen for that. People really put Owen Harper on a pedestal when he is, in fact...
He's an awful person.
I've not seen very much Torchwood, but I really dislike Owen from what I've seen.
Yeah, he's misogynistic.
Yeah, Owen is not great.
Sexual assaults people and they put
up to the side. This episode, like that's our first introduction to him.
Yeah, because he wasn't he trying to use some sort of alien gas to like make people not be able to consent properly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is not a poor little meow meow.
No.
He's a bad person.
Yeah.
The thing is, most of the Torchwood characters I don't have a strong opinion on. Like, I've not seen enough of them, but, like, Owen I see and I'm immediately like, nah. is not my favourite.
One of the things I enjoy about Torchwood is how bad they are all as people. They're selfish.
Mm.
They're violent. They're adrenaline junkies, derogatory. Like, they are not great people, and I love that they are our main characters.
Mm.
Like, sometimes in Doctor Who, I feel like they're too good.
Mm.
Not all the time. You have some really amazing, especially with Matt Smith, scenes where the Doctor and his companions aren't good.
Mm.
Mm. But I think fundamentally people view the Doctor, right or wrong, as good.
Mm.
And they view companions bar, like, Missy as good.
Yeah, I mean, Missy's not really a companion.
No, I just wanted to cover my bases. But Torchwood, they're all awful humans, but they're also human.
Mm.
They have a lot of faults.
Mm.
It's sort of the point, isn't it?
Yeah. That
doing all these things, it's going to have an effect on people.
Yeah. Mm. Is it fragments? I could be wrong, where you find out everybody's, how they all joined Torchwood? It's when the building explodes because Gwen was late.
I don't know, I've not seen it.
I haven't watched that one yet.
Gwen was late. The building exploded. Everybody gets knocked out and relives how they joined Torchwood. Great.
Oh, okay.
Gwen,
is that the entire episode?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yanto stalks Jack.
Yeah.
Tosh. I do love Tosh.
I'm a Tosh lover.
She was forced into complying with a terrorist organisation to save her mum.
Mm.
And Owen's wife died on an operating table via alien. It was an alien in her brain. Mm. But I love how awful they...
What spoilers for Torchwood as well?
Look!
I think we've established that we're going to do spoilers at this point.
You're not staying kifty right now, are you, Harry?
No.
More about Countryside. My last snog was Gwen. Iconic Owen line. He's sarcastic and evil.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're like, as you should, King.
Mm.
Sorry, my note says Owen is a creep. He's not a poor little meow meow, and that's all I've got for that. there's a flaws in the maths. Yeah, my source is my flatmate. she did. My flatmate is also currently silently in the back of this. For the listeners of our very audio-based and not visual podcast, you would see her. I'm not going to tell, we've angled it.
Yeah.
What's there a flaw? What?
Technically, we could get a little Sam cameo or a Samio if you like.
My favourite podcast segment, the Samio. Sam, would you like to explain why the maths was wrong?
The maths was wrong.
In Torchwood.
The car.
Oh, the car. They travelled too many miles in like 20 seconds and it would have been... I've got a calculation on my phone. Still some time for a second.
There was actual maths happening in season 60. Which I think is the first and only time actual maths will ever be done in that room. I
can't believe that happened.
I've done homework in there before.
Okay.
A lot of people have done maths homework in there before.
Yeah, it's very funny looking down, because I sit quite at the back, how many people are doing maths homework during Doctor Who. Or just doing other things. I'm just like, Doctor Who's on, lads.
But I did it because I had a lecture that finished at 6, so I'd get there really early and just sit there doing it before we started.
I do eat my dinner in CG60 sometimes. Confessions.
Are you allowed to be admitting that?
Yeah, no.
I don't think
it's the rule.
Whose sock's not on at 6 o'clock? Whose sock starts at 6:30 with our room booking?
That is true. So technically, if we eat before 6:30, then it's not against the rules because we haven't booked the room.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not sure if the chemistry department would be very happy,
society
though.
Society can't get in trouble.
I feel like the chemistry society... No, the chemistry department is not listening to Who's Up podcasts.
No, but
no
book room people.
Chemistry department, send us a message if you listen to the podcast.
We'll tell you out next week. Please let me continue eating my pasta. I don't have time to go home.
Can I put in a little request? Seal Sean, do you know who you are? If you listen to this podcast, send in a little email, please.
We are, in fact, the best podcast in Durham.
Who.society at durham.ac.uk.
Chime off, fans. Let us know how you're feeling. We've not actually talked about the episode. Gwen gets shocked. She's an idiot.
Yeah.
Hey, you can't hate on woman. Misogyny.
Oh, you've been hating on woman.
Yeah, I shouldn't hate on woman either.
I can hate on woman.
You can do what you want, Rebecca. Yeah.
I'm glad Gwen got shot.
This is, you know what? For my first podcast properly hosting, it's gone really well. People get eaten.
Yeah.
Anyone got any final thoughts before I move on to questions to try to save this train wreck?
Well, I think they were on the side of a country, right?
And that's it.
Despite it being a Torchwood episode that I don't like watching it, it's the one that I've watched the most times.
I will say, I do find something interesting about how, like, people view it now as a Chibnall episode. Because I saw a take online somewhere. I think someone posted on The Matrix to make fun of it, which was
Lorna.
Like...
Lorna.
Yeah, Lorna was... like, saw this take online, and it was like knowing what Chibnall is like now, we know that this is actually bad. When actually, to me, that just looks like you're now just biased against Chibnall, and you only see the flaws in Chibnall's work.
Not to defend Chibnall, but I think it's very different leading a show. Leading a show with such a history behind it, than writing a couple of episodes of Torchwood.
Yeah.
And the tweet that Lorna sent in particular was like the ending where the cannibal leader man is like, lol, lads, I do it because I want to. But that's the point of the episode.
Yeah.
The point of the episode is that there's no big higher things. There's nothing out there making humans be awful. Humans do it perfectly by themselves. And I think that's a really good way to end the episode.
Yeah.
And, like, you might not like Chibnall's Doctor Who. I think that's fine. But you can't deny that Chibnall has put out some really good media. Case point, Broadchurch. Like, he can write. I just think there was a lot also happening.
I mean, whoever was writing during the pandemic was going to have a harder time with it, let's be honest.
And there was a lot of deadlines, a lot of pressure. The format of Doctor Who had changed. We had gone from 20 episodes to 10.
Well, we'd gone from 13 to 10.
Yeah, okay. That's a little less, actually. Less.
Well, actually, overall, in the cold year, it was only 12 episodes, so it only lost 2 episodes.
I want TV to go back to having 20, 25 episodes. Give me those filler episodes.
Well, I think it typically had about 26 episodes in the series.
And that's beautiful.
Though they were normally 20 minutes.
Half the length, so it was about the same total runtime.
I liked it, though. I like that format better. Glee, the most brilliant TV show to exist, has about 20 to 26 episodes in each season. Half of them are filler, but that's how you get to know the characters.
But again, the episode's about half as long, so it's still about the same amount of content as an older, newer series.
But it's
and
like...
people always complain about the pacing in older as well.
Yeah, I think Doctor Who's not a show that would fit 20 minute episodes. It's got to be at least, I think, 40 minutes.
But, you know, David Tennant, those in his run, there's some really good filler episodes.
Oh, yeah, you need to have filler episodes. But Chibnall had filler episodes. Chibnall had loads of filler episodes.
He shouldn't have had as many filler episodes as
Were there any episodes that weren't filler?
Yeah, Series 11 is just a series of filler episodes. Like, the Battle of Ranscroft Colossus does not feel like a finale.
It really, really doesn't.
But yeah, like, just because his Doctor Who is bad, that doesn't mean we need to retroactively go everything he's ever written is bad. And I do think he does deserve a lot of ragging on, but people, I think, do rag on him a little bit more than he deserves.
Wow, look at us, regular chippers apologists.
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far.
And on that note, let's go to questions.
I have a question.
What's the question?
How are you?
Oh, wow. Good. A little nice. Tired.
What's the next question?
Okay. No one else. Harry, Rebecca, no one cares how you are.
I'm being silenced.
Oh, silencing woman. Oh, no.
Rebecca, how are you? Tired.
I'm very sleepy.
The bar crawl.
Yeah.
Harry, how are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Listeners, how are you? Send us
send in a little email
to who.society@durham.ac.uk. Tell us how you are.
I really hope you actually get to get some emails.
Oh, I might email in. And hey, we are Durham's best podcast.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to start off strong. What's your favourite Chrissy Jackson moment?
You know when she has a high heel and she hits the Santavon in the plug hole at the back. And then she's there getting zapped, but she's like, wow.
Stunning, yes. My favourite moment is when she's on the couch, right? And she's listing, she's like, all these bad things are happening and Sarah Jane's always around. Oh, do you know what's causing it, Maria? Maria's like, I don't know, Mum. And then she's like, it's me, I'm cursed. And we're like, oh, Chrissy, yes, you are the main character.
Yeah.
You are the main character. Ollie, as a big Sarah Jane fan, what's your favourite Chrissy Jane?
I love Sarah Jackson. I like the one we were talking about earlier where she was like bursting in to find the statue of her mother.
I do love the statue part.
Yeah. Is that your favourite Chrissy moment?
I think that was what I was gonna say, yeah, but it's been stolen. So I'm not allowed to have a favourite moment.
Wow. Silencing the kift. Yeah.
Banking men now.
Public service. Would you drink Bubble Shock? And what do you think it would taste like?
What does Bubble Shock do?
It's the, if you had watched the episode, it was...
I had an exam! I had a summative exam!
Skill issue.
Yeah.
Don't do physics.
Yeah. Simply don't.
It is in the episode. The factory Luke is made in is a fizzy pop factory, and like people drink it and they like turn into like little weird zombies, and it's how the Bane takes over the earth.
Oh, I wouldn't drink that.
You don't like fizzy pop, do you?
No, I also don't like being a zombie.
Well, they didn't know it would turn them into a zombie.
All but 3% of humans just really like it.
Yeah, I just
they're working very hard on that 3%. They keep saying that.
Me and Rebecca were discussing this prior to the podcast. We both independently thought it would taste like when you put a vitamin C tablet in too much water. So it's not quite there, but with a metallic, rusty taste.
Yeah. Like somebody just dropped a chunk of metal in.
Like there's a 2p coin at the bottom.
Yeah. It would really clean your 2p coins, I think.
Oh, it would, yeah.
And you know what? I'd drink it. The thing is, I don't drink fizzy drinks a lot, but I think, like, I'd be getting the off-brand little version. They'd have, like, shot bubble, and that's what I'd be buying.
The thing is, if on the back...
Bubble surprise.
Shout out to Sergeant Pepper. If, like, they had marketed it towards me saying it's got high vitamin C and high B12,
yeah,
I'd be drinking it.
Yeah.
I'd drink gallons. Gallons upon gallons. And I'm a Diet Coke girly as well.
Yeah.
So I think,
I do think if you gave me a little sip of your Bubble Shock, I'd be like, actually, this is better than my off-brand version and switch.
Oh, I'd be getting the branded version.
Yeah.
What about you, Harry?
Other than lemonade, I don't really drink fizzy drinks. So I'd probably just not try it, assuming I wouldn't like it.
Aww. You two aren't fun.
Well, I'm sorry.
How many times would K9 need to say, we are in a car, for you to realise that we are in a car?
Just once, because you should always listen to K9.
I don't think I'd realised that he was telling me to drive the car into the door, though.
No, I'm too close. He could have told me that as many times as he liked. I wouldn't have realised that because I am too dense.
You know what? It'd probably take me 2 or 3 because it would go over my head.
I think it took Mickey 3.
Oh, God, I don't want to be on the same level as Mickey.
Mickey Smith from Series 1?
It's definitely Mickey. How many Easter egg? How many Cain and Abel references are in this podcast?
How many Cain and Abel references have you seen today?
I think there's also been 3 references now.
Have there?
I did Space Pontins, Space Butlins, and I also said, the thing about Maria is that she's cheeky, which is a Cain reference.
Is it? Okay.
I didn't know either of those were Cain and Abel references.
No,
there.
I
funny.
No, my humour is stolen. So
I'd honestly, I'd forgotten that the Space Pont in Space Butlins thing wasn't from the episode.
And Joe asks, and I feel like I need to cite this one, which human body part would you find the tastiest?
Toes.
Yeah, I saw that question and I thought of you.
I'm vegetarian.
So, coward.
Yeah. I've seen Society of the Snow. I know how it ends.
What if I made, like, human nuggets?
Oh, I do. You know what? My one weakness is McDonald's chicken nuggets. If you could promise me that they looked and tasted like McDonald's chicken nuggets.
I think they taste like human.
Would they taste like McDonald's chicken nuggets, though?
They taste like McDonald's human nuggets.
Would I have a chocolate milkshake?
Yeah.
Then I'd eat any body part.
Okay.
I don't think I would want to eat a body part.
Yeah, I don't think I have a scale for tastiness of human body parts.
The thighs. Yeah.
I'll have a brain.
That's how you get prion diseases.
Yeah.
No, you're fine.
Would it be much different to what we've got now?
Do we think a prion disease would fix us?
we did get some serious questions, but I thought these were the funnier ones.
Are we going to answer the serious questions?
Yeah, we'll answer one serious one.
Are you not doing all the questions?
No.
Why not?
Because there's so many. I didn't read them all.
It's not that many.
Wow.
Busy, okay?
There were 2 on the Discord. There were not that many on the Matrix.
Whose podcast is it?
Well, it's yours.
Exactly.
I just think you're silencing some people's voices.
And I ought to. School reunion tries to humanise the Doctor through his companions. This doesn't work. When, if ever, has the Doctor been humanised? And which aspects of his personality would you focus on to humanise him?
I think that rather than focusing on humanising the Doctor, like making him human, you just need to make him a believable character. And I think RTD and Moffat both do a really good job of it. You just write good character arcs rather than trying to make him human. You make him relatable by making him complicated and interesting and go through emotional journeys. That's the best way to humanise him.
Yeah, I don't think the Doctor should be humanised.
Mm.
Some of my favourite moments is when the Doctor fundamentally does not understand humans.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's because as an autistic person, I don't understand humans. And I'm like, wow, Peter Capaldi, you get me like no other, you know?
Mm.
But for me, I like the fact that the Doctor is not the quote human one. I think that's what the companion is for.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should humanize the Doctor.
The companion is the audience surrogate.
4 Cain and Abel references.
See, that's not even, I don't even say that as a Cain and Abel reference. I'm just saying that because that's what it is.
Oh, if you hadn't said it, I would have.
But yeah, sometimes it's never done it right. I think they should give up, pull a Bertie, give up, and move on. Harry?
I think this question is too deep for me to come up with an answer.
Understandable.
We have got Would Kelsey Hooper, which I believe is not Clyde, have been a good fit for Sarah Jane Adventures? I think we discussed this.
We didn't. Yeah.
I mentioned it.
It's been mentioned, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've not seen the episode, and I still don't know anything about them apart from the fact that there's a moment.
And they're not Clyde.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
I don't think she worked.
No.
I think they did need comedic relief.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm such a Clyde enjoyer.
Clyde works well as comic relief.
Mm. And I think he's a good between for both Luke and Maria / Rani.
Can I just say, I really like when the comic relief characters are not just comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
I like it when they actually have their own little arcs and personality.
Yeah.
Like, Nardole is comic relief, but he also is a character.
I do like how her the first time she meets her new neighbour, the very first thing she says is, "Do you have broadband?" And when the answer is yes, goes, "Great, I'm going to use it."
She is an icon.
Yeah.
She is the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well she would have been written into future episodes.
Mm.
Like, I really enjoyed the sass, but would I have enjoyed it if it was constant? Because she wasn't humorous, she was just sass.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Clyde was both. So they could have written her differently, which you can do after a pilot.
Yeah, but you can do character development.
you are right. But I like Clyde.
Mm.
I think Clyde works really well.
Yeah.
You know what? We might have actually done every question. Oh, no. We have got, which former companion would you like to meet 14th Doctor Evie Press?
Donna. I just love Donna.
Mm.
Bill.
Yeah, but...
I feel Donna and Bill would both put her in her place.
Is this in, like, a universe where we can hire Catherine Tate?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want anyone trying to be her. It would have to be Catherine.
Yeah, this is the assumption we're seeing, like, Donna as she actually is versus Evie Press's Doctor as she actually is.
I want Susan because I need to know what happens to Susan.
To be fair, Susan is someone you can recast because she could have regenerated.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I'd like to see Susan and Susan go, "You left me with one shoe." Because justice for Susan.
Mm.
The amount of times that someone gets announced as having been cast in Doctor Who and people are always just assume, it's the Rani, it's Susan, it's someone else. It's...
Mrs. Flood quaking right now.
Mm.
Oh yeah, she's definitely Susan, obviously.
Who's not predict?
It would be a wild way to reintroduce Susan, but I would respect the hell out of R2-D for it. I can't wait for future generations looking back on this podcast, because I'm sure they will listen to it in the future.
Oh yeah.
And being like, we know who Mrs. Flood really is.
I'm showing it to my kids.
This is your debut on Purple Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, if this goes out before Conversations from the Coffee Shop. It probably won't.
Until Saturday, doesn't it?
I think this will probably go out on Saturday. Conversations will probably go out on Sunday.
Your
so debut weekend of
is my debut. I'm going to be Purple Radio famous.
Viewers, email in. What's your favourite Rebecca Naylor moment?
Society at Durham.
Is there a correlation between having an episode with Sarah Jane Smith and buildings exploding? Yes.
I'm not sure about in Classic Who.
New Who Sarah Jane, she's got things to prove.
She loves exploding buildings.
As she should. Yeah. A woman deserves her hobby.
Yeah.
Hang on, so a building explodes in the school reunion. Does Silver Jenny's end? I mean, a lot of buildings explode just because the Daleks explode.
Yeah.
What about the end of time?
It's not just Sarah Jane in that.
No, it's not just Sarah Jane in any of them.
To me, it's just Sarah Jane.
There are multiple characters in most, if not all, Doctor Who episodes, I would say.
I just think you hate to see people winning, Ollie. I do believe that at the time I prepped this document, we have answered all the questions. Does that make you happy, head writer Oliver Buck?
Yes, thank you.
Does that make you happy, not head writer Harry Kift?
Yeah.
But the real question is, does it make you kifty?
And on that note, stay kifty. From me, Bertie. Ollie.
Stay kifty.
Harry.
No.
And Rebecca.
Stay kifty.
Stay kifty.
Stay kifty.
Purple Radio Podcasts. Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.